Well, it's a new series today. Always love a new series, and especially this particular subject in this particular series. We're going to be talking for the next several weeks on grown-ups. Everybody say grown-ups. Here's the premise of today's message: growing people change. Everybody say growing people change. That was weak. Everybody say growing people change. It's the truth. Growing people change. When we think about in the natural, we think about people, babies, natural, in a natural sense. You think about diapers, you think about pacifiers, you think about bottles, you think about sitting in your diapers, and we think about in Christ today, we've got a lot of people that have been saved, but they're stunted in their growth, and they're not continuing to grow. Growing people change. So if I'm going to continue to grow, I've got to change from one season to the next season, from one behavioral pattern to the next behavioral pattern. And it's time for the body of Christ globally, and those of you watching by web stream today on the internet campus, it's time for the body of Christ to stop sitting in their poo and let God change them. That was weak. We think about it that we go through these, in the natural, we go through these changes. I mean, you go from the bottle, the diaper stage, you know, the onesies and the two-year-old, and then when they get in the kindergarten and the first grade, they go off to school, and you've got your Superman lunchbox period. And for me, my parents were too conservative. They didn't allow action figures, so I had the goofy little school bus metal lunchbox. You can see it. You know, you've seen it in some, what do you call those places where people go, memorabilia. You've seen it in the memorabilia shops, you know, from back in the day. I hated that. I was persecuted greatly for that little metal school bus lunchbox with the little kids looking all goofy through the windows and everything. But, you know, the thing is, we change. I didn't carry that into junior high. How goofy that would be. I mean, it was cute when you walked out the door at, you know, first grade and you had your two Oreo cookies sandwich in a bag of chips and, well, for your newer generation, your little juice box, right? But then you grow. And I mean, you know, if you're still at high school, you're a senior in high school. Listen, if you're still running around doing pranks with bubble gum, pulling girls' hair and farting and thinking it's cute, well, the rest of us doesn't think it's cute. But you need to be going to college and you need to be, you know, earning a good check and having a steady job, and you're still sleeping to noon. It isn't cute anymore. I mean, you're waking up with, you know, saliva drooling down your throat and everything else. Your hair looked like it hadn't been combed in a month. It's not cute anymore. We have to qualify what is grown up in Christ. Growth, here's a thought for you. Growth is supposed to be natural. However, when physical or mental growth is interrupted with malnutrition, sickness, or lack of education in a specific area, it can be devastating to a person's life. I mean, there is such a thing, you know, like I've told you before. Somebody said, well, I've got 20 years of experience. No, you need to tell it right. You don't have 20 years of experience. You've had one experience for 20 years. You know, people level off. They're frustrated about their job. They're frustrated about their lifestyle, and they don't want to do anything about it. Growth requires change. You might have to take a night class. You might have to get off your derriere and go get a second job or do something that's going to allow you to get to where you want to be. Stop complaining about it. Stop living life frustrated and grow. Because a lot of people are stunted in marriage. And guess what? They'll be the last person to sign up for the marriage conference. And their marriage has been on pause for the last 15 years. they're having the same experience, dealing with the same frustrations, dealing with the same habits and hang-ups, complaining about it. You go to work, you talk about it to your friends at work, you talk to you women, you go about it, and you talk about it to your girlfriends, and you complain about him, and you run him down, and my mama said I shouldn't have married him, and I should have listened to you guys, I should have listened to my friends, I should have listened to my mama, and you'll be the last person to sign up, because growth requires change. If you want to keep growing, you got to keep changing. And God uses certain elements to transform our lives that are not natural elements. The same thing can occur spiritually. When we're not nourished by the Word of God, we're not actively participating in church, we're not an involved member, we're just an attender. Many people should be actually taken off the church's active list and put on the church's inactive list, because they don't serve, they don't give, and they don't attend regularly. The other day, I heard a preacher do that out in Louisiana, and he runs about 5,000 people. He said, you know what, if you don't serve in this church, we're moving you from active list to inactive list. And that doesn't mean you can't come here anymore. That doesn't mean we're kicking you out of the church. It's just saying we're making a statement. If we're a Christ follower, we're going to be an active church member. If we're a Christ follower, we're going to serve the Lord in some capacity in our church. If we're a Christ follower, we're going to be a giver. We're not just going to be a name Christian. So the same, yeah, thank you for those three amens. God bless you on that. kudos to you. You're not an involved member. You're not being nourished by the Word of God. Perhaps you've suffered some hurt, or you've been severed from the body of Christ, and if you don't get healed, you're going to remain a spiritual baby for the next 20 years. Yes, it is possible to be a church attender as well and come every Sunday and still remain in your stinky, poopy spiritual diapers. Growth should be a desire. Growing up in our salvation, growing up in the Lord should be something that we want. Nobody wants their children to stay stunted in their growth, right? Nobody wants to see a ninth grader carrying a Scooby-Doo lunch pail and a Superman backpack. Nobody wants that. You expect that growth means change. What we need to do is wrap our minds around how does that look in Christ, right? Because we can all understand from a natural sense there's a growth chart, there's an expectation. We're moving from adolescence into adulthood. There are certain expectations and certain behavioral patterns that change as we grow. We know what that looks like from a physical standpoint, but many of us do not know what that looks like from a spiritual standpoint. How ridiculous it would be if you're 16 years of age and we're trying to put you in the church nursery. How many of you know you would not fit in the crib? How stupid it would look with your Nikes and your big old long legs sticking about 3 feet out of the crib. And they're in there trying to give you your binky and your blankie. I'm sorry, binky and blankie was cute at 2. It's not cute at 22. We need to know what spiritual growth looks like. We know what physical growth looks like, and we can draw a lot of similarities from it. Growing people change. Everybody say it with me. Growing people change. So I just want to give you three things today. We're going to cover a lot of things in the next several weeks. Why? Because as a parent, you want your child to grow, and guess what? As spiritual parents of this house, we want God's children to grow. Our desire and our motive, ladies and gentlemen, is pure. So please don't judge me to provoke you to grow, because nobody wants a 22-year-old acting like a 2-year-old. Nobody wants that for their children. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is know that you're saved. three things we'll talk about. Growth requires change. Number one, do you know that you're saved? Because there can't be any growth in your life, obviously, if you're not alive in Christ. All right? You have to exist to grow. If you haven't been born again and legitimately saved, you're not even a bleep on God's radar screen. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, you must be born again. Everybody say it out loud. Say, you must be born again. Say it. One more time. One more time. How are you saved? How do you get saved and how do you go to heaven? You must be born again. How do you get your sins forgiven? How do you walk in new life? How can you overcome all the stuff of this world? You must be born again. Do you know that you know that you're saved? If I ask you and say, hey, have you received Christ? And your response is, I think I have. Have you received Christ? You know, or when did you receive Christ? You know, come to think about it, I've just been serving God all my life. As quiet as it's getting in this room, folks, that's the answer that our outreach teams and Living Ways evangelistic teams that go out and witness or go door to door or do outreach in the city. How many of you know those are the kind of answers we get every day? Every day. I think I am. It's like, dude, are you married? I think I am. I mean, do you know your birthday? I think so. These are things that you know, just like the natural birth of your children. You'd never forget that day. I mean, that's a highlight day. We have three incredible sons and remember their births and remember especially obviously the first one's birth and the long labor and the Christian doctor that we had and the faith that we had to believe that Ann was going to have Ryan naturally and how that he prayed with our parents and family and just persevered so that our vision could be fulfilled and remember bringing him home, know the hospital, know what it looks like. That's been a long time ago, almost 25 years ago. And I just, right now, I even know the color of the car seat, the blue corduroy car seat that was in the car 25 years ago. I know it like it was yesterday. Why should we be doubting or hesitant concerning when we were saved? Or if we are a Christ follower or not. Listen, I think I am. Wrong answer. Matter of fact, I've just been a Christian all my life. You say, that's annoying, Pastor. Well, you're kind of annoying to me with that attitude. I'll be honest with you, it just flows both ways. The fact that you can't point to a time on August the 14th, 2011, I came after Pastor Bill's message at Living Way Family Church. I walked the aisle and I came to the altar and I walked the Romans Road. And at the end of the Romans Road was a blood-stained cross that was empty of a Savior so that he could fill my heart when I believed in the strength of his blood and confessed his lordship over my life. I'm asking you today, not have you gone through catechism, not have you gone through confirmation like I did, not whether you were baptized as a child like I did, I'm going to tell you, none of that stuff can save you, and it'll never save you. And if that's what you're basing your eternal salvation on, I love you today, but you're not saved. You need to be saved, and you can be saved before we get out of here today. I've had people come to me and said, Pastor, you have provoked me to be saved. I feel something in your church. I love the Word of God, but I must tell you, sir, because I made a vow to my great, great, great grandma and said I would never leave the mother church. She made me promise, and I know that to not be at my mother church is a sin that I must go to confession for. And I must tell you, although I feel something, I know God is calling me because I've made this vow that has actually become a curse on that person's life. I can't follow Christ as my Savior and my Lord. In other words, what we're saying, it's Christ plus. Christ plus the works of the church. Christ plus the works of the flesh. Christ plus man's plan and program. Christ plus the traditions and ritual of religion. And ladies and gentlemen, nowhere in the Word of God, and if you find it, I'll be glad to put salt and pepper on the Word and eat it this morning. Nowhere in the Word of God will you see that it is Christ plus anything. Jesus Christ, John 14:6, is the way, is the truth, is the life, and there is no other way to get to God but to come through Jesus Christ and His blood. And I can tell you, He loves you today unashamedly, and this is not to put anybody on blast or condemn you today. We serve a God who is merciful and who is gracious, who is the only one that can forgive your sins. And if you made any kind of hideous, ridiculous vow like that, if you've done something so utterly stupendous as that, God will forgive you for that vow, and He will remit that vow, and you can make a fresh vow to Jesus Christ, and God will cancel out the power of that thing that has been a curse over you, religion, that has been a curse over you and has kept you from true, legitimate relationship with the Savior. He'll cancel it today. He'll reverse the effects of that today, and He will forgive you. And the vow, consider the vow broken in the name of Jesus. And make a vow that God can honor. Not a vow to a church, not a vow to Mary, not a vow to a priest, but make a vow that God can honor. Have you, so how can I be saved? Have you walked the Romans road? The Word of God says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, folks. Deal with it. Own it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For me to continue in my sins, or you to continue in your sins and trust religion instead of God, becomes a curse and a yoke over our life. And it'll mean separation from God. Thirdly, Romans 10, the end of the Romans road. Romans 10:9-10. Believe in your heart that God sent Jesus to this earth, that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior, and you shall be saved. No other place in the entire inspired Word of God will you find those requirements. No other place in the entire Word of God will you come to that knowledge of salvation but to take that Romans road and confess Christ as your Savior, and that is the only way that you can be saved. I want you to look at this next video clip as a father reaches out to his son and ministers to him, and maybe this will give you a greater picture of what it means to really commit your life to Christ and be able to love like Christ wants us to love. Let's check this video out right now.
Dad, that is not what I'm doing.
Isn't it?
No. Dad, that is not what this is about.
Son, you just asked me. How can someone show love over and over again when they're constantly rejected? Caleb, the answer is, you can't love her because you can't give her what you don't have. I couldn't truly love your mother until I understood what love really was. It's not because I get some reward out of it. I've now made a decision to love your mother whether she deserves it or not. Son, God loves you even though you don't deserve it. Even though you've rejected him, spat in his face. God sent Jesus to die on the cross and take the punishment for your sin because he loves you. The cross was offensive to me until I came to it. But when I did, Jesus Christ changed my life. That's when I truly began to love your mom. Son, I can't settle this for you. This is between you and the Lord. But I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Can't you see that you need him? Can't you see that you need his forgiveness?
Yes. Know that you are saved. Have that experience with God where you call out and you ask for God's forgiveness. Then these next two steps are vital to your spiritual growth. Then you get connected to the local church. Then you get connected to discipleship. You get connected to a connect group, a small group where you can be discipled and trained and loved by other believers so that you can grow in your salvation. Number one, everybody say, know you're saved. Number two, I want to talk about craving the things of God. Everybody say, crave the things of God. You get a new appetite. Everybody say a new appetite. Listen, your appetite has to be right. Your diet has to be right in order for your walk with God to be strong. This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 1. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Everybody say, crave spiritual things. The Bible said to have a craving. I mean, when my wife was pregnant, for some reason she craved broccoli with cheese sauce on top. All the candy and all the other stuff in the world. I'm glad she craved something healthy. Cheese sauce kind of sent it off the edge, but it's what she craved. Nothing would satisfy her till that craving was met. I'm telling you what, after 2 weeks of being up north where they are Tim Horton fans, which is their coffee shop and not Starbucks fan, I couldn't wait to get home and get my green tea. My staff knows that ice green tea was waiting on me, praise God. Because it's like they don't believe in cold, they don't believe in ice. Because it's cold to us even in the summertime. Craving, something you desire. We all have these cravings that we have to bring to Christ, and we need to channel those cravings after the things of God. So desire or crave pure spiritual milk, watch this, so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, every day we need to be partaking of the Lord. How do we feed on the Lord? How do we set a diet for spiritual things? Obviously, the local church is a part of that. Obviously, coming to Bible study on Wednesday night is a part of that. Obviously, being involved and engaged in small group ministry in this church, the men's ministry, the women's ministry, other small group connects, the youth ministry, the singles ministry, the college age ministry, these connects help you grow. They're environments where you can hear the word of God. They're environments of discovery. Growth requires change. Kids are growing because they discover. They go through these periods of discovery and oh yeah. And a lot of times just being in the presence of other adults, right, helps them to grow. I mean, I was kind of raised that way. That's why I'm kind of goofy like I am. Because I was raised around a lot of adults. And so I matured a lot quicker than my age. You know, at 12, I was acting like I was 16, and at 16, I was acting like I was 25. And at 16, I was already teaching adults. I was ministering the word every Wednesday night in my local church at the age of 16. I didn't even know there was youth ministry. I really didn't. I didn't even know teenage ministry existed all through my teenage years till after I got in my 20s. Because the people I was around, I wasn't around a lot of kids. I wasn't around a lot of young people. I was around older people. And because I was around older people, I matured beyond my years. And I believe by association in Christ, we can mature beyond our years. We can mature quicker by getting with the right people that can help us. Know that you're saved, but after you know that, August the 14th, I came to Christ. It's forever a landmark day, just like you know when your children were born, you know your birthday, you know you're married, you know that you're saved, you've walked that Roman road, you confess Christ, now you're on a track of spiritual development. Begin to crave spiritual things. I found out a long time ago, it's ridiculous to work out 4 or 5 times a week and beat your body up and work out for an hour and a half, 4 or 5 times a week if you're not going to eat like an athlete as well. If you're going to work out like an athlete, you've got to eat like an athlete. Spiritually, you've got to eat like a world-class Christian. You've got to know what to feed on, and you've got to know what not to feed on. It's very simple. I'll make it real simple for you. Whatever we receive through our eye gates and our ear gates is how we feed. That determines our diet. What's coming to your eyes and what's passing through your ears is what you're feeding on. Many times when we sit down and we're logging 28 hours a week, this is a fact, Jack. 28 hours a week in front of the television, 16 hours a week in front of the computer and the internet, and I'm not going to ask how much time we're spending in the Bible. If, listen, the neighbors came over, it's a sunny day outside, last chance shopping spree before school. An old friend called you up and they just happen, they're in town and they just happen to want to go out to eat at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. That just happened the very time that we have church and Bible study. Now listen to me. If church is your last resort, I can tell you already, you're a spiritual baby and you are stunting your hope of growing forward in your salvation. If church is last to you, if Bible study is last to you, if getting in a good connect group with other believers and talking the things of Christ, if that is last to you, you are headed down a path, watch this, of arrested spiritual development. By our choices, we either release the development and the maturity of Christ, or we arrest the maturity and the development of Christ in our life. Let him live. Ephesians tells us, we talk about growing up in our salvation here, but Ephesians says, let us grow up into Christ, which is our head in all things. How many of you know it's the head that turns the body? Let us grow up into Christ, who is our head. What are one of the things that qualify or denote spiritual maturity is allowing Christ to be our head and allowing Christ to turn our body. Christ and our affection and our passion for Christ is what turns us, turns our life, turns the things we value, our family, our time, our attention, our focus. Is Christ your head? Appetites. So, our eye gates and our ear gates need to be focused on Christ and his plan for our lives so that the word is before us in our ears, in our eyes, feeding our spirit, strengthening our walk with God, causing us to crave spiritual things. Number three, real quick. How do I grow? Begin to desire discipline. And man, that is not a fancy word to use in church, desire discipline. Discipline is good for you. Personally, I almost lift weights almost every day, but there are times I look forward to it, times I do not desire it at all. But regardless of how I feel, every time I push iron above my head, it helps to strengthen my body. And over time, I can both feel and see the difference. There's times you don't feel like reading the Bible. There's times you don't feel like going to church, but you've set it as a habit and a practice and a discipline over your life, and it doesn't matter how you feel. Every time you come to church, every time you read the Word, every time you fellowship with other believers, you are working out. You are exercising your spiritual muscles, and over time, it will be known and felt. When I used to go to another particular gym in town all the time, I would notice there would be people that would come in the morning, spend 2 hours in the gym, come in with a 64-ounce Coca-Cola from Stripes that they would walk from machine to machine, slurping down more calories than they can burn up in that two-hour workout, visiting and talking with people. The result of it, there's never any evidence. Let me tell you this, nobody's ever going to walk up to them and say, squeeze their bicep and say, man, you've been working out. Don't worry. There'll be no evidence because they don't desire discipline and don't bring the necessary discipline that it takes to be a world-class Christian for Christ. I made a choice not to stay stunted in my spiritual growth for the rest of my life. Here's what the Bible says about that. In Hebrews 5:11, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food, everybody say solid food. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. A lot of revelation and truth, ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare to close today. Verse number 14, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use, everybody say constant use. At some point, Mama puts away the pureed carrots and begins to introduce some meat into the diet because Mama wants baby to grow. And it escalates based on the desired growth of the child. Regular feeding, consistent feeding, and mature feeding causes spiritual development in our lives. You got to handle it. You've got to be able to handle the things of God. You've got to handle them a little bit. Some of you come in here, bless your hearts, and you're a little stretched. You've never worshiped like this before. You've never heard a preacher be real with you to this degree before. Man, that's a little strong. He's really preaching up there today. I bet some people might get offended. That's such a strong word today. Let me tell you, just like the mother introducing something more solid into the baby's diet, do you think that mother is doing that because she hates her child? I just hate you. I'm going to make you eat this little piece of beef. I'm going to cut that. I hate you. Eat that beef. No more carrots and green peas that you're spitting up on me anymore. You know what? I hate you so much, I hate you. And you know what? Because I hate you so much, no more poopy diapers for you. Take that poopy diaper off, set yourself on that toilet and learn how to do that the grown-up way. I just hate you so much. Now, the motive isn't hate at all, is it? The motive isn't hate at all. Watch this. The infant must handle something of a mature substance if it's ever going to develop a maturity into adulthood. If you never handle anything of substance, if you never get a chance to use your faith, if you're always dependent on other people's prayer, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, it's happening again, pray for me. Let me tell you, the body of Christ will always be there for you, but let me tell you, that's not your future. Your future is learning how to pray for yourself. Learn what are you going to do when nobody else is around? You're going to have to lay your hands on you and cast out the devil up out of you. You're going to have to lay your hands upon yourself and heal yourself in Jesus' name. I speak the word of God. I speak healing over my body right now. Jesus, what do you do when there's nobody else around? You can't get them on the phone, and you can't run down to the church at midnight and your baby's sick. You lay your hands on your baby, and you rebuke that fever in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you're growing up spiritually. You know you've got the same power. You've got the same authority. You've got the same anointing that Pastor Bill does. You've got the same Jesus, the same presence, the same glory, the same Father, the same salvation, the same blood. You've got the same anointing that your pastor has. So lay your hands and handle some spiritual. I know you're not ready for it. I know some of you are not ready for this word this morning. That's okay. I'm introducing some meat into your diet so you'll get used to how grown-ups. I want you to get used to how grown-ups act. Grown-ups don't pout. Grown-ups don't go sit in the corner and suck on their thumb. Grown-ups don't slam their door and ask why, like a 13-year-old teenage brat, slam the door and go turn up the music in the room. Grown-ups don't act that way. Grown-ups don't pout. Grown-ups don't talk about one another. Grown-ups don't pout when they don't get their way. That's not how grown-ups act. So we need people in the body of Christ that are going to go ahead and grow up, so this family, who this morning is full of infants, it's full of teenagers, it's full of elementary students, there are some high school and there are very few secondary sitting in this room today, but wherever you are in your walk with God, God wants you to trade up for something better. It's time today to trade up for something better, to trade up to the next level of spiritual maturity and say, I'm not sitting here in my poopy diaper any longer. Growth means change. So change me, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Dear Father, we love you today. We thank you that you loved us so much that your grace provides for us from the cradle to the completion of our lives. Your grace provides not only for salvation, as your mercy does, but your grace provides for our spiritual development even beyond us coming to the cross and accepting Christ. Your grace provides for us to grow up in our salvation in all things. God wants us to grow up in Him today. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. No matter what your lot in life, no matter what religious persuasion you are, I'm asking you, have you received Jesus Christ as the Lord over your life? And if your response is, I think I did that, maybe I, summer camp, 19, whatever, I'm not sure. My parents were Christian. I've been a believer all my life. You can't point to a time in your life where Christ radically changed your life and you committed your heart to Him, then today, my friend, is the day of your salvation. There is forgiveness and a fresh start. Oh, that's such good news. There's forgiveness and there is a fresh start for you right now, available in Jesus Christ. If you say today, Pastor Moore, I'm ready for a fresh start. I'm ready to begin again. I want August the 14th to be written down in my Bible, to be written down as a memorial that this was the day I was saved in Christ. If God is dealing with you today, lift up your hands right now and say, this is the day of my salvation. I want to know. God bless you. 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 Back in the back, you, sir, thank you for your courage. You over here to my right. Are there any other hands? God is dealing with you today. This is the day of salvation. I'm going to make it right. One last call. It's last call. God bless you, sir. This is the day. I'll be able to document it in my Bible. I'll be able to tell my friends, hey, have you been saved? Have you ever received Christ? Yes, sir. August the 14th at Living Way Family Church, 2011. I gave my heart and life to Jesus, and I will never be the same again. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together. People are raising their hands all over this building. God is dealing with souls. Jesus said in His Word, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to stand right down here today, and the Romans road of your process, the Romans road of your process is going to take you down that aisle and into this altar this morning. And I'm standing right here by the cross at the end of this Romans road. It is empty. I might point out, Jesus is not on the cross. There's just stains of His blood there that represent your forgiveness and your healing. There's a tomb that is empty as well. Why? Because He desires to possess you. He's not living in tombs, and He's not hanging on crosses. Let me help you today. He's not hanging on crosses, so you might as well take that little crucifix off your neck, because He's not hanging on crosses, and He's not living in tombs. He's alive, and He's well, and He wants to possess your heart and fill your life today. That's who He is. That's the nature of God. He will change you. I want you to stand up on your feet all over this room. Standing up today, and about 25 people raise their hand to say, today, August the 14th, I want to be a Christ follower. And I want those 20 or 25 people or so, or even if there's more, to step out of your seat and walk the Romans road all the way to this altar right now. Put your hands together. If you raise your hand, come. I'm waiting on you. There's about 20 or 25 people that need to come. Where are you at? Today's my day. We're going to write it down. We're going to build a monument right here on this site. We're going to build a memorial today. Today's my day. I want to know who I am. I want to know where I stand. Others are coming. You need to clap them down. God bless you today. Come on, they're coming. Where are my 20? Come on, somebody. Don't just move emotionally. Where are you today? Bless you. Come on, where are you today? Keep on clapping. Somebody's thinking about it. Somebody's thinking about it. Bless you today. Bless you. Bless you. Somebody's thinking about it. Wow. You shouldn't be worried about what people think right now. You know what? If you don't know, you don't know. And you need to know. Thank you for your courage. It's the devil's job to keep us in our seat, right? But by the Holy Spirit, when we, here we are, God. Make this happen in my life. It's awesome. It's awesome. You. Hey, all right. Bless you, man. Bless you, sir. Love you, man. Real men cry. Real men weep. Real men weep. They really do. Real men weep. I'll tell you today, this is a great example of bringing your friends to Christ. I think we have to become aggressive where salvation is concerned, you know? You bring somebody to church and maybe they're somewhat inhibited about coming forward, go with them. The rest of us aren't going to judge you. Well, I thought Brother John was saved. He'd been in church 5 years. Oh, shut your mouth. We're not worried about that junk. Grab somebody by the hand. We're going to the altar. We all know you're saved. We're not judging you, man. I know our brother's saved. He's like, I'm standing with my friend today. I'm bringing my friend to Christ. It's all good. It's all good. We're praying right now. We're praying right now. Everybody say this after me. All the church, repeat it after me. Say, Jesus, Savior of the world, be Savior of my heart. I invite you in right now. Come live in me. Forgive me of my sins and fill my heart with your Spirit. I make you the Lord of Lords over my whole life. My future is yours. And I confess you as the Son of Almighty God, sent to save me and deliver me from my sins. I am a Christian. I am a believer. My life belongs to Christ. And I will serve him for the rest of my life. God, keep me by your grace. Keep me strong as I continue to grow. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together and give him some radical praise in this place. Hallelujah. Real quick. Couple things. Just bear with me just a minute, church. This is somebody celebrated you, amen. Took time for you when you came to Christ. If you don't have a Bible today, tell one of our staff members, tell one of the prayer partners that are here, and we'll give you a Bible. And I want you, first thing you put in that Bible is August 14th, 2011, right? I came to Christ. I accepted Christ. I became a Christ follower, however you want to say it. Living Way Family Church, Pastor Bill Moore was preaching in Brownsville, Texas. That's the day. 6 years from now, something happens in your life and the devil comes and says, you're not saved. That's just emotion. You're not really saved. Look what you did. Look how you messed up. You go get that Bible. You say, listen here, Mr. Devil. I know what I did. Nobody drugged me down the aisle. August 14th, 2011. I'm saved. And I'm radically saved, and I know that I am. And this event doesn't change the fact that I'm saved. I'm just going through some stuff, but I'm going to grow through it. I'm not just going through it. I'm going to grow through it in Jesus' name. So write that in your Bible. Write that down in the Bible we give you. Go by the Next Step table today because we have a CD and we have a booklet that talks about what to do next, some of the things I talked about growing today. I urge you with all my heart, become a part of a small group program here in the church. Get to the men's fellowship. Get to the women's fellowship. We're about to release a whole new group of small groups coming this fall. And hunker down in one of those groups. Let somebody be your spiritual leader. Here's the deal. Somebody's been where you haven't been. Somebody's seen what you haven't seen in Christ. Your success in life is about coming under and being taught, right? Jesus did not say in the Bible, go make converts. He said, go make disciples. Now, we know conversion is a part of it, but a disciple is a disciplined one, right? A disciple is one who disciplined their life to follow Christ. They're in the process. They're growing. They're doing something. They desire discipline, like we talked about this morning. You can't get that just in a Sunday morning service. You're going to get something, but you can't get that real nitty-gritty, deep spiritual work unless you get into a small group with people who love Christ and will mentor you and minister the Word of God to you. So look in that church bulletin. Look at all the opportunities we have this Wednesday night and get hooked up. And then on September the 7th, I want to see every one of you at that water baptism service. It's just a few weeks away. We're not going to, not do anything till then. But on September 7th, you get ready to invite your friends, your relatives, people that you know, because not only will you get baptized, but we'll give an opportunity for more people to get saved on that day. Amen? You invite your unsaved friends, and they'll have an opportunity to come to Christ on that day. Before you leave the altar today, there are loving people standing behind you. And Rosie, I want the team to come and receive, let them receive your information. so that a member of our prayer team and our outreach team can contact you this week. I want you to applaud these guys today. I want you to give them a big hand clap. Come on, prayer workers. Work with them. Now, hey, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for your passion for salvation. Service today has been about bringing new believers to Christ. I know there are always many needs in the house. And I'm just going to pray a closing prayer here right before our closing prayer. I'm going to pray for those of you that may be suffering in your family, or you're going through something, obviously, at home, or you're going through something in the workplace, or maybe you're battling a physical ailment today. Glory to God. Sister Wisnett, I know you've been battling some things of lately. I want you to turn around and lay hands on Bert's wife. Amen. And let's just pray a blessing for her today. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for everyone in this room today that has been battling some ailments in their life and some sickness in their life. Father, just lay your hands where you hurt right now, church. Lay your hands where you hurt. Father, if you head, you head. You back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release your healing power to flow in this congregation today to quicken the dead and make alive dead things in our lives, God. Let the Spirit of the Lord descend over every life and over every heart today. We drive sickness out. We drive infirmity out, confusion out. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace back in that home. I speak peace back in that marriage, peace back in that relationship. God, that Christian that's lost their joy, that believer that's lost their focus, God, in Jesus' name today, restore what the cankerworm, the pommel worm, the caterpillar have eaten. God, we ask you to replenish and restore into their lives today. We speak it. We release it. It's done now. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together and give God some crazy praise in this house. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. Give him one more praise. Give him one more praise. As pastor comes and get ready to close in prayer, I'll see you Wednesday night. I got two amens. I'll see you Wednesday night. Because I know you value your spiritual health. And I know you want to grow, and I know that you know growth comes by feeding on the Word of God. And I'll see you Wednesday night. We've got a great series going and a lot of connect opportunities for new believers. Discover the Living Way is going, and that's a great place for every one of you to start on Wednesday night. We love you, and we're going to champion the cause of Christ in your life. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Carl?
Praise God. Father, we just thank you right now for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard today. God, we thank you for these lives that have been changed in this altar today by your word, Father God. And we celebrate with them the newness of life that they walk in from this moment forward. Lord, we thank you for this awesome time in your presence, Lord God, realizing that growth means change and we are here to change for you. God, we give you all glory, honor, and praise in all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's celebrate the Lord. Amen.